Identifying and Alleviating Burnout by Megan Nelson. Megan is a licensed social worker and currently directs a program supporting family caregivers of older adults in New York City. She is also the Community Health Coordinator for Effective Altruism NYC. In this session, Megan will draw from her experience as a frontline social worker and EA Community Health Consultant to discuss how burnout endangers our ability to do the most good. Please give a warm welcome to Megan.
All right. Hey, everyone. Oh, my gosh. It's 8 o'clock on Friday night. I really appreciate all of you being here. I know it's been a really long day, and I really hope that this session is going to be helpful for you, especially as you move forward into the weekend ahead, because I know today was jam-packed. The next 2 days are going to be jam-packed, and I hope that this kind of gets you into a good frame of mind as we move forward. So, yeah. So who am I and why should you listen to me? I was telling Zachary that I'm used to introducing myself when I talk to groups, so I had to like cut out the introduction part. But it's true, I am a social worker. And social work is kind of a unique profession in that we know that we are at risk for burnout. And we're simultaneously working with clients, serving people who themselves may experience burnout on top of any number of other stressors and traumas that they may be going through. So part of our training, pretty much from day one in my profession, is understanding what burnout is and understanding how to avoid it. So as I've moved through my own work and working with clients and now supervising other social workers and helping train students, this is something that I think about a lot. And I've also had a personal interest in effective altruism for a long time. So when I was asked to give some kind of self-care talk at EAG, I thought, okay, burnout, that's something that I can probably talk about. So as we get started, let's all agree to some ground rules for our time together tonight. First one, your participation is welcome, but it is not required. If you read the session description, this is an interactive workshop. I'm not just going to be talking to you for an hour. There is going to come a time where you're going to be in small groups chatting with each other. And for all of you, I welcome you to participate in that, but if you're just not feeling it, or if you want to share one thing but not another thing, or even if you're feeling like, okay, this session, I'm kind of over it and I need to step out in the hall and just be done for the night, it is A-okay. A-okay. So similarly, what we share here needs to stay here. So I'm going to be giving you some general information that I hope will be helpful in the first part of this talk. And it's actually being recorded, but when we get to the point where you're going to be in your small groups discussing things, and then later on when, if you choose to, you can share with the big group what that was like, none of that will be recorded. I'm going to get to a point in the talk where there's going to be a slide that says stop recording now, and the AV guys have agreed with me that that's what's going to happen. So any personal stuff that people bring up stays in this room. Along those same lines, I want you to speak only for yourself. When we come out of the small groups, you'll have the opportunity to share what that experience was like for you. And again, I'm going to ask you to speak only from your own experience in that group. There we go. And then finally, what we're doing here tonight is not a substitute for professional mental health support. Okay, this is not therapy, this is not a support group. The great news is that professional mental health support is out there, those resources are out there, I'm gonna kinda go over those in a slide later on, but that's not what we're doing in this workshop tonight. So if everyone agrees with that, can I get the jazz hands? Can I see that? Oh, it's so beautiful, thank you. All right, so here's what to expect. I'm gonna be talking at you for about 20, 25 minutes. Then we're going to break up into small groups to have a discussion. And then at the very end, we're going to come back together as a big group. And again, you are welcome to share what that was like if you feel comfortable doing so. So what is burnout? I'm going to guess that every single person in this room has an idea of what burnout is, right? We all kind of have a concept of it. But I think it's really helpful when we do a talk like this to agree to a framework that we're going to work with. So I thought this is a good one. I pulled this from the literature. Burnout is an emotional state stemming from chronic stress and high ideals, usually but not always in the workplace. So burnout isn't a diagnosable mental illness, but it has been identified and studied across a lot of modalities since the 1970s. A lot of the literature around burnout focuses on occupational burnout, people who are burnt out by their jobs. But the reality is that burnout can also occur in volunteer roles, and it can definitely occur in family caregiver roles where someone is caring for a loved one who has a disability or a chronic illness. So what does it look like? There are three key components to burnout. Number one, physical and emotional exhaustion. You just can't anymore. We can understand that. We're really tired. And number two is alienation from the work that you're doing. This is that cynicism. It's that feeling of, you know, I work really, really, really hard at this thing. What's it all for? It's not going to make a difference. And then finally, reduced performance in the work that you're doing. You have these three components, you have burnout. So what can it feel like? Well, here's, you know, the list. There's that exhaustion, the cynicism, feeling like a failure, not performing well at work, using unhealthy coping mechanisms, having a short temper, irritability. I think it's worth pointing out, I'm just going to say a few words, that a lot of these symptoms can also look like depression. Burnout is focused on the work that you're doing. It's very easy to identify. Burnout is about my work. Burnout is about my caregiving. Depression tends to be more global. I feel like a failure. I feel like I'm not enough in general, not specifically around the work that I'm doing. If you are at all concerned that you are experiencing depression, I so encourage you to reach out for that mental health support. Again, it's out there. And then I just wanted to kind of put that in there because, yeah, a lot of those burnout symptoms can look like depression. And we know that burnout can put you at risk for becoming depressed. So again, we can think of burnout living at the intersection of chronic stress and high ideals. When you have a lot of idealism, when you have this idea that if you just work really, really, really hard, you can change the world, but you're really stressed out, you don't have the support that you need to back that up, that's where burnout can happen. So I want to invite everyone, just for a little short minute, and this is not for you to share, but there's some paper and pens if you want to jot stuff down, or you can just think about it, but just think about times when you have felt chronic stress and how that might have interfaced with the high ideals that you might have. So I'm just going to give you a minute to kind of think that over. Okay. And as you're sort of wrapping up those little jotted down notes or those thoughts that you're thinking about, I just want to acknowledge that this can be really heavy stuff to think about, especially at 8:15 on a Friday after a long day. And I really appreciate you just taking a moment to explore that feeling here tonight. So if we think about chronic stress and high ideals, it's time to think about burnout in EA. Because here's the thing, EA gives us this incredible promise, right? If you work hard and you make the right choices, you could save billions of lives. You could have this amazing positive impact on the world. And the fact is, I mean, they're not wrong, right? They have a point. It's a really good point. But when you feel like you have to pit your own needs against all the suffering in the universe, and now we also have to think about suffering in the far future, it's a lot. And your own needs and your own stress can feel pretty measly up against that. So why should we care? Well, I mean, for one thing, burnout is miserable. It is a really, really, really subjectively unpleasant state. It's unpleasant for the person who's experiencing it. And, I mean, in that list of what burnout feels and looks like, irritability, short temper, people who are burned out are really unpleasant to live with, too. But, you know, maybe that's not super convincing to you. I don't know. Because here's the other thing. Burnout reduces your impact. Maybe you say, you know, okay, Megan, there's a certain amount of misery that I can handle. I'm really tough. I'm just going to power through that misery that I might have. But the reality is, if you're burned out, if you are experiencing this chronic stress in the service of your high ideals, you're never going to be as impactful as you will be when you're well-rested and you're healthy and you're whole. But there's a third reason, and this one is personal to me, and I believe in it from the bottom of my heart. And maybe it's because I'm a social worker, but maybe you agree. I think people who care are a precious resource on this planet. The fact that all of you are here at this conference to think about and learn about how to make the world a better place, oh my goodness. For me, I think that it is unconscionable to misuse or mistreat that care that you have. We have a responsibility as a community of effective altruists to take this into consideration, to look out for each other, to make sure that we have what we need to be in it for the long haul. So my goal, and that slide didn't transfer the way I wanted it to. It says your needs over on the right, you believe me. My goal, and this is like the most ridiculously simplified thing that I could possibly have made, but it gives you a framework. I want to balance those. I want to balance those scales between your needs and the other's needs. And that's where we're going to be going with the next few slides. So what can you do? I'm going to give you a caveat. When we talk about that chronic stress, keep in mind that burnout is often structural. And again, I'm coming from a social workplace, so I'm thinking about systems. I'm thinking about oppression. I'm thinking about what are the larger forces at work in our lives. So a lot of times when we talk about burnout or people talk to us about burnout, the focus is on, you know, well, you just have to take better care of yourself. When in reality, a lot of times people are working in environments or industries that are not taking good care of them. So you could build this beautiful self-care castle, and if it's built on sand, it's never going to stand up. So again, little social worker in me, I gotta say, for those of you in the audience, and this is an EAG, so I know there's you're in here, you mid-career professionals who are responsible for other people. Just a few words. You have a responsibility to think about the culture in your workplace and think about the expectations that you have of the people who report to you. Maybe you're an educator. You have a responsibility to think about this for your students as well. And think about the systems that you're working within. Maybe you can't change everything, but part of it has to come down to you and what you can do to address and alleviate burnout. But let's talk about kind of the individual. Oh my gosh. Here's where we kind of get into the cliche. So you're gonna have to be patient with me. But they're cliche because they're true, right? You've heard it's a marathon, not a sprint. Right. So you got to pace yourself. Very, very often when people learn about EA, especially if they're younger, if they're in college, I don't mean to be ageist, but that's kind of what tends to happen. You know, young people, they learn about EA, they get super excited. There's all this funding for uni groups. It's awesome. You can have an EA group and you can get an EA career and you can have all EA friends and go to every single EAG, and it is so cool. It's a lot. It's a lot, and I think it's also worth pointing out that you can get burned out on fun stuff, too. You know, you can love the pace of going to these conferences, because it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot. And again, if the goal is for you to have the most impact, the best impact you possibly can, I think there's really something to be said for longevity of impact, for sticking around, for not burning yourself out really, really fast. So along those lines, it's okay to take a break if you need to. it's okay to step away. It's okay to step away from EA. If you need to, if you are finding that being in this is not serving you, if it's hurting you, if it's taking too much from you at any particular point in time, it's okay to take a step back. And I know that not everyone has the privilege of being able to take a step back from the work that they do for a living. But there are ways, if you kind of examine what's going on in your life, what are some ways that you can take some of the pressure off, that you can dial it back just a little bit to give yourself a little bit of a break? And you may need some support in that. You know, when I'm asking people to sort of evaluate and rebalance that idealism that they have, a lot of times it's helpful to talk to another person, a professional, about this. And, you know, I've been saying all day how excited I am about this rise of EA-informed mental health. We have professionals. There's going to be a meetup on Sunday of EA mental health professionals, therapists and coaches, talking about what it's like to work in this community. So the help is out there. And again, I think this is like the third time I've said it. I so encourage you to reach out for that if you think that that's something that you could benefit from. Okay. Next up, yeah, you got to make sure your needs are met. Again, cliche, but it's cliche because it's true. You can't pour from an empty cup. If you are completely obliterated, if you are not getting enough sleep, if you are not eating a healthy diet, if you're not getting the things that you need to feel happy and healthy and whole, you aren't going to be able to serve others. Or maybe you'll be able to force yourself to do it, but it's never going to be as much or as good as it could be if you had those basic needs met. So along the lines of addressing the stress, I also really encourage you to explore healthy ways to disconnect. And the disconnection, I'm thinking about not just taking that step back, but looking for ways to turn off your phone, maybe for a couple of hours a day, throughout your week, ways to be maybe a little bit less available to the pressures that are asking things of you. And then this comment about reconnection. I mean, one of the things that we know about burnout is that social support, communicating with other people who are supportive and empathetic and thoughtful about our needs, is also extremely helpful. And that's where that kind of community care comes in, having those conversations, having those friends. And then finally, if you are in this chronic stress condition, I mean, I'm in no position to tell you what you should do with your job or career, but I would encourage you to critically evaluate whether it's serving you at this time. How is this feeling for you? What could you change? What can't you change? What do you have to find a way to live with? But have a look and see, maybe there are some adjustments that you can make.